This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يا أهل الجنة إن ربكم تبارك وتعالى يستزيركم فحي على زيارته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه والسراج المنيرا. My beloved brothers and sisters, a lot of people today, they are on a mission of finding that which is going to bring them that spiritual contentment that money can't buy. Many people are soul searching. One of the most common questions and queries that I get sent is, brother, please help. I'm spiritually dead. I'm spiritually empty. I'm not satisfied in my life, even though they have the glitters and the glamours of this world. However, they are still empty, brothers and sisters. They are depressed. I engage with multi-millionaires, brothers and sisters. Wallahi al-azim. People who are filthy rich. They are not happy in their lives. They cry themselves to sleep. I get contacted on Instagram by individuals who have these blue ticks, verified accounts. You click on his profile and the man has everything you could think of that shabab and shabbat, young people today crave. Cars, women, money, flashing around. Some of these guys are rappers, some of these guys are influencers. However, start the conversation, and one of the first things that he sends is, you know that emoji, the yellow emoji with the tears? The man needs help. He's suffering. The way things were 10 years ago is not the same as how it is today. Right? The spirituality of the people is very, very different. A lot of us don't have our priorities straight. We are soul searching, confused, not knowing which direction to go in. Before I go into the lecture that I really wanted to deliver about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the cure and the solution to a lot of the problems that we are going through on a day-to-day basis, my beloved brothers and sisters. Take this from me. The Quran is the solution. And inshallah ta'ala, today I'm going to show you guys how. How this will put us in a much better place spiritually. That which we are crying out for. Just to be content. Just to be at peace. Right? But before I do, I collect these links from Daily Mail. Don't go on these websites, guys. Huh? But every now and again, I might come across this article and I save it. It comes in handy when we get together, times like this. Right? Before I read out some of these articles, I want to ask you guys, do you guys know Jim Carrey? Have you guys heard of Jim Carrey? Who's Jim Carrey? He's an actor slash comedian. Canadian slash American. Right? You know what he said? I think everybody should get rich and famous. And do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. Like I said to you guys, I engage with multi-millionaires and I don't take a single penny of them. It's not them funding the da'wah, guys. I pay the miskin who cuts out my videos a monthly amount that helps them get by from my own pocket. Even though they offer me a lot of money, we can give you this, we can give you that. But you know when you start taking perks and also money from multi-millionaires, it's hard to give da'wah to them. It's really, really hard. It really is. I have a principle, you can't give da'wah to those that you take money from. That's why I'm not an imam. Right? That's just my view. You don't have to take it. It's very hard. I found this on the Daily Mail. It said, about 70% of people who suddenly receive a windfall of cash, like they win the lottery, will lose it within a few years. It says 70% of people who suddenly receive a big amount of cash, they will lose it within a few years, according to the National Endowment for Financial Education. Lotto lout Michael Carroll makes double suicide attempt after squandering 9.7 million jackpot. Life, I had that money, guys. Huh? Try and take the da'wah to another level. We'll take over the world. Inshallah. Carol, an alcoholic who is now on benefits. 9.7 million pounds he has squandered, guys. He is now on benefits. I think a lot of people are on benefits here in this area, sir. Is that true? Allahu a'lam. Who is now on benefits after blowing his winnings. By the way, there's nothing wrong with taking benefits. It becomes a problem when you start cheating the government. So I don't know why you guys are laughing. Benefits, take it. People lose their jobs. It becomes a problem when you start claiming to be single, and then the husband is creeping in through the window. Claiming that you're single just so you can get extra pounds. But when you lose your job, if they are saying, we will give you X, Y, and Z, if this is your situation or your condition, appreciate. So Carol, an alcoholic who is now on benefits after blowing his winnings on drugs and high living, was taken by ambulance to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in nearby King's Lynn. That's just one. Number two, Euro Millions winner, 56 years of age, who said 27 million jackpot destroyed her life. Is found dead in her Belfast home. Police say death of Maggie Millions, that's what they called her. Her nickname became Maggie Millions, who spent her fortune on property and good causes, is not suspicious. Why is it not suspicious? Why is it not suspicious, brothers and sisters? Because of what I mentioned earlier. A lot of these individuals who become suddenly so rich, right? They suffer. They really, really do. Right? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing them that this is not the answer. Look at Mr. Carroll and Maggie Millions. You think that money will actually buy you that happiness. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayruh. The way this dunya has been created, my brothers and my sisters, it is there to entice you. It beautifies and glamorizes itself, tricking and deceiving you, making you think the moment I acquire it, I will perhaps become satisfied and be at peace. Duhik alik. Shaitan is having a laugh at you, guys. That's how you think it is. The moment you acquire that dunya, the glitters and the glamours of this world, thinking that khalas, it's now time for me to enjoy myself, it's only going to last a little bit, and then you're back to square one. So why do they say that this is not suspicious? They say about her that she bought the ticket that landed the windfall when she was walking back from the job center, living on benefits of just £58 a week. Imagine having that kind of lifestyle and all of a sudden, millions. Her sudden death is not being treated as suspicious and is a tragic end to years of troubles. Years of troubles. It is a tragic end to years of troubles. She is not thought to have ever married, right? But is survived by her four brothers and sisters. Huh? Allahumma salam. Her good luck saw Mrs. Luffrey dubbed Maggie Millions and allowed her to buy a property empire including a 125,000 bungalow, a pub, and a former Milton leisure center. And she gave at least half away to good causes. But she was sectioned 4 months after the draw and later described life as a multi-millionaire as if there is a hell. I have been in it, she says. No, you still got the other hell waiting for you. It has been that bad. Miss Luffrey, dubbed Maggie Millions, later claimed people had stolen millions from her, adding, "I regret winning the lottery. Of course I do. I was a happy person before. I'm a human being. And all it has done is destroy my life." At the most recent count, she said she only had 5 million left and remarked, "You can't take your money with you. There is no shroud with pockets." Rings a bell, right? Can't take your millions with you. You know the shroud? The white thing that you are covered with before you are admitted into that grave? Doesn't have pockets. Who told us this, my brothers and my sisters? But I'll guarantee you guys, me mentioning this is going to strike a chord. Because it's someone that lived amongst us. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1400 years ago, or more than 1400 years ago, uttered these statements. Right? يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثٌ. When one passes away, three things follow him. One stays and two come back. What are the two that comes back? His mal, his wealth, and also what? Those who dropped him off from his family members. And the only thing that stays is what? Good deeds. I'm looking at some of the pictures of her home. It's amazing. However, she lived a miserable life. A mechanic who scooped a staggering 108 euro millions jackpot in 2014 says his new life of luxury quickly became quite boring. A life of luxury with mansions and supercars, boring. Have you guys heard of Francesco Totti? You millennials probably won't remember. I won't ever know, I think. Some of our elders, right? He was like the free kick machine. Forget David Beckham. Some of you guys might still not know him. Huh? The 45-year-old retired footballer in 2017 has admitted that he struggled to cope without being out on the pitch. And he then lost his father in COVID in October 2020. During these challenging times, he feels that his wife was not there to comfort him. A multi-millionaire, guys. Right? His wife was not there to comfort him. He struggled to cope without being out on the pitch. Brothers and sisters, we see a lot of these footballers today, right? They are living lavish, full lives.
Sahih?
And we aspire to have lives like that. Not actually realizing that this is temporary. Because there is no footballer that is going to last forever. Sahih? So look at Cristiano Ronaldo, he's struggling to let go. I forgot which Man United player this was. Right? He said that he needs to learn to let go. Obsessed. Some of these footballers, my brothers and my sisters, some of these footballers, right? It is their worst nightmare to think about what they will do after footballing. When you're used to a type of life, it is very, very hard to just adapt to something else. Even some of these managers in the past, I've heard them say, khalas, they're done. They're not going to manage anymore. They're just going to go and spend time with their wives. Only for him to come back. He wants to become a manager at the age of what? 70 something. Like this guy called Neil Warnock. I think that's his name. Huh? Are you guys surprised that I know all these names? Huh? I had trials for West Ham. But I'm retired now. I hanged up my boots, guys. I don't know, did they win today or did they lose? Because they cause a lot of traffic when it's coming to the lecture. Someone said if Abu Team was playing for them, they'd probably be doing a lot better. Allahu A'lam. There's another footballer, brothers and sisters, that I really want to share with you guys. Adriano. Have you guys heard of him? He used to play for Inter Milan. He netted 74 goals in 177 matches for Inter before injuries and the death of his father, who raised him in one of Rio's, yani Rio de Janeiro, toughest favelas, caused a downward spiral into depression and booze. The forward recalled an interview with R7 magazine. Look what he says. I felt very lonely after his death. Everything got worse because I isolated myself. I was alone in Italy, sad and depressed. And then I started drinking. I only felt happy when I was drinking. That's heard a statement before. They drink to forget, we do dhikr to remember. I do it every night, he said. I drank everything. I could get my hands on wine. Sorry, he says, I drank everything I could get my hands on. Wine, whiskey, vodka, beer, lots of beer. وَهَكَذَا يَخْوَى. This is the state of a lot of these multi-millionaires. A brother came up to me after the lecture that I gave in Edmonton Islamic Center. One of the points that I mentioned was, when you sin, it affects your provision. It affects your financial situation, guys. I think I talked about it last time around when I came to this message, right? When I went through some of the consequences and effects of sins. So he said to me, why is it that all of these kuffar, all these non-Muslims, right? They are living the life. They seem extremely happy. I was like, is that really the case? I gave you guys the example of all these footballers, Jim Carrey, some of these other very well-known celebrities. I always mention in my lectures, you guys probably heard it before, all these YouTubers that you see, Logan Paul, KSI, and Justin Bieber, add him onto there as well, right? Even the other guy called The Beast, huh? Fousey Tube, who more than once came out to speak about his bipolar and his depression. Sahih? And then when he was recently interviewed, just before his boxing match, look what he said. When they were asking him, how do you feel? He goes, I stopped watching pornography, I stopped drinking, I stopped doing zina, right? I don't take drugs anymore, and I'm staying on top of my salah, and I couldn't feel any better. And I could not feel any better. It's who's true, guys. The individual who came up more than once to announce his apostasy. Right? So the brother's saying to me, how come they all have this? They seem to be, you know, doing well financially. When you spoke about in the lecture, that rizq, your provision gets affected when you sin. Because the Messenger ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِخَطِيئَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا. When you carry out the sin, you begin to lose your provision. It affects you. I said to him, that's not the only type of provision, because arzaq is of different types. I said to the brother, that spiritual contentment, is that something that can be bought with money, guys? No. Right? They may have the money, they may have nice cars, but spiritually he's dead. Malik ibn Dinar, he said, ما ضرب عبد بعقوبة أعظم من قسوة القلب. One has not been punished with anything more greater than a hardened heart. Look what they're doing, guys. They're drinking themselves to sleep. This is a footballer that we used to watch. And everyone used to talk about the power in his shots. Right? However, you see him doing well on the football pitch, but then behind closed doors, he's crying himself to sleep. Right? What we are chasing, my brothers and my sisters, is something that may well be revised. Before you end up having the same consequence. We've spoken a lot about these guys. Let's speak a little bit about sisters. Equal rights, isn't it? Huh? Some of my favorite stats when it comes to social media is the following. Right? That was carried out by a very well-known major research project into children's lives called the Millennium Cohort Study. It concluded with the following. It found that many girls spend far more time using social media than boys. And also that they are much more likely to display signs of depression linked to their interaction on platforms such as Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook. This is before TikTok, guys. This is before TikTok. I have a madhab when it comes to TikTok. Huh? I have a madhab. You guys know what madhab is? A position. I'll tell you guys something. There was a tweet that went around. It had Elon Musk's name on it. He said he was going to buy TikTok just so he could close it down. But then I realized it was photoshopped. But before that, what did I do? I done sajda to shukr. I prostrated to Allah and thanks Allah. Because I used to make dua, Ya Allah, send someone that comes and closes down this app. By the way, guys, I did not ask to go viral on TikTok. I didn't. I actually warned against it. Right? So this study was made, my brothers and my sisters. And by the way, I don't even post on there. Just in case someone has, huh? He warns against it, but then he's all his videos are going viral. I did not put it on there, guys. TikTok, which is the worst out of all of these apps I've mentioned. You know what it concluded with? Almost 40% of girls who spend more than 5 hours a day on social media show symptoms of depression. Most girls with depression are unhappy with their appearance and 2.5 times more likely than boys to be dissatisfied with their weight. Half of depressive girls and a quarter of depressive boys said that they suffer from disrupted sleep most of the time. Why are they not pleased with their appearance, brothers and sisters? Who can tell me? Why are these girls not pleased with their appearance? I'll tell you guys. Because society glorifies women such as the Kardashians. They portray them as the ideal women. This is how a woman should look like. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everyone beautiful in their own way, right? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ You are a beautiful creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, both men and women, right? Allah made them beautiful and handsome in their own ways. Does that make sense? But they made you feel that she needs to look like this. And because she doesn't look like that, and she sees that this type of lady who looks this particular way is getting all of the likes and the attention, I must look like that as well. And if she can't, she goes into depression mode. Shall I tell you guys what's even more shocking? In the Emirates, 70% who tried to get plastic surgery done, 70% of these women who went forth to get plastic surgery done, right, was due to social media influence. Plastic surgery, guys. Nose, ears, eyebrow, whatever. Plastic surgery. 70% was due to what? Social media influence. What we see online, my brothers and my sisters, is a moment of people's lives. And some of these celebrities, they get their pictures, their images, their videos edited before it's released. Did you guys know that? Did you know that, guys? Photoshop. I back in the day, I did a lot of things, guys. Huh? One of them was, I knew how to do Photoshop very well. Adding the glow, making this face skinnier, and the shoulders larger. I was very good at it. Right? But then I went to Yemen, I forgot how to use it. I could have been making the posters for the masjid, but, you know. Shahid ibn al-Kalam, you could do that. Wallahi al-Azim, you could do that. There was even a time, subhanAllah, I had a cousin, I went to give a lecture at Coventry University. While we were driving there, he said to me that there was a sister who sent her pictures to a brother, and he tried to use that now to blackmail her. Right? What did he do? He took the top part of the body and then connected it to a naked body. You can do it on Photoshop, guys. And even now, brothers and sisters, it's even more easier, right? There are technological advancements, right? With video, motion, and everything. When he said that, I believed him straight away because it was so easy to do, being someone who was very good at using Photoshop. But who's the victim in all of this? The one who keeps looking. Thinks, okay, this is how life should be. Right? This is how I need to be. This is what I need to work towards. Only for it to leave him disappointed. Because that's the reality of the dunya. My brothers and my sisters, compare this now to what happened to Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh. Ibn Taymiyyah, my brothers and my sisters, was imprisoned multiple times. Not Abu Taymiyyah, Ibn Taymiyyah. Passed away over 700 years ago. Multiple times, he actually died in prison. We tend to quote Ibn Taymiyyah a lot. His works were magnificent. Wallahi, absolutely amazing. I come across some of his statements that he uttered over 700 years ago. Wallahi, would be the solution to some of the problems that we have today. Well, in fact, a lot of the problems. Huh? Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him a zakah. It is as if he's living amongst us with some of the advices that he's giving. Anyways, when he was in prison the last time round, قَرَى ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ فِي سِجْنِهِ 80 خَتْمَةً. He finished the Qur'an 8 times. And then the 81st time, فَانْتَهَى إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ. The last verse that he uttered was when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّةٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Allahu Akbar. The muttaqeen, the pious. Huh? فِي جَنَّةٍ وَنَهَرٍ. They will be granted gardens and rivers. فِي مَقَعْدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِيرٍ. Allahu Akbar. They will have a station, right? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul. Right. He is in solitary confinement. That's what he called it. Right. He's inside of solitary confinement. Right. However, he's reading the Quran, reading the Quran, reading the Quran, reading the Quran. Why? Because the Quran is giving him that peace and that contentment which cannot be bought with money. Compared to all of these guys who have spacious homes, who are filthy rich, who live lavish lifestyles, this man dies in prison, having recited the Quran 80 times and an 81st time, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّةٍ وَنَهَرٍ. This is the same individual who would say, مَا يَفْعَلُ أَعْدَائِ بِي. What can my enemies do to me? Right? What can my enemies do to me? If they kill me, I die as a martyr. Huh? If they exile me, it'll be siyaha. I'll go travel. Well, traveling has benefits, brothers and sisters. right? Sometimes just, you know, contemplating and reflecting on the scenery, Allah. Huh? And if they imprison me, khalwa, I'll be alone with Allah. Huh? To be in solitary confinement, he is looking at it as a blessing because of Allah and I'm going to read Quran. Huh? It's an opportunity to busy myself with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah, Allahu Akbar. Allah, you compare it to. Right. Let me tell you guys about the Black Mufti of Mecca. The Black Mufti of Mecca. With racism rampant, it wasn't just the collar that was stacked up against him, right? The odds that were stacked up against him. Ibn al-Mulaqqin rahmatullahi alayhi says about Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who, just to let you guys know, was the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was the cousin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? Do you know how his appearance was, guys? He was a black Abyssinian. A'war, couldn't see properly. Aftas, pug-nosed. Ashal, he was paralyzed. A'raj, used to limp. La mar'ata lahu, he didn't have a wife. Min ahli Makkah, he was from the people of Mecca. Thumma umiya bi akhirihi, and then he became blind at the end of his life. But he was the black mufti of Mecca. ولكن العلم والعمل به رفعه. But you know what raised him, guys, in the eyes of the people? Knowledge. This man was extremely knowledgeable when it came to the Quran and acting upon it. You guys heard of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma? Who is he? The son of who? Of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Do you know who narrated the most hadith? Who was number one? Abu Huraira. Who is number two? Abdullah ibn Umar. Siyuti, he says in his Alfiyah wal-Mukthirun fi riwayat al-Athar, Abu Huraira, Yali ibn Umar. The one who narrated the most hadith of Abu Huraira, and then Abdullah ibn Umar. Right? Abdullah ibn Umar, guys. An Arab. A Qurashi. Right? He would come to Mecca, and the people would come rushing towards him to ask questions. He said, تَجْمَعُونَ لِي الْمَسَائِلِ. You want to bring me all of your issues. وَفِيكُمْ عَطَى بْنَ بِرَبَاحِ. I know you have عَطَى بْنَ بِرَبَاحِ amongst you. Why are you guys coming to me for? You have him amongst you, go to him. It's Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion. عَطَى بْنَ بِرَبَاحِ wasn't a companion. He was a tabi'. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised this individual, my beloved brothers and sisters. He studied against all odds. Today, if someone was disfigured like this, and this was his appearance, my brothers and my sisters, how would society look at this individual? They had absolutely no hope, right? That he's failed, right? Tafsir ibn Kathir, my brothers and my sisters, Tafsir ibn Kathir, which is the tafsir that many might refer back to, it's also been translated in English. And there's a piece of advice I'm going to give you guys right at the end, inshallah ta'ala, about what we should do. Because we want to live with the Quran, guys. You open up every other page, you know whose name you're going to find? Ata ibn Abi Rabah. Student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who is a scholar of the Quran. This paralyzed, pug-nosed, limping individual, who didn't have a wife, but his name is mentioned alongside the statements of Allah Jalla Fi'ala. His name, brothers and sisters, is mentioned alongside the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because, my brothers and my sisters, he spent time learning the book of Allah Jalla Fi'ala. Right. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam. Right. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a legend. Just as a side benefit. Whenever someone wronged and oppressed him, he would send him gifts. Especially after the American trip, I need to give out a lot of gifts, huh? to these feminists. And the Skittles team. And the liberals. He will send them what? Send them gifts. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ فِي مَنْ لَقِيتُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عَطَاءِ نَبِي رَبَحَ. I never saw anyone that I met more virtuous than Ata ibn Abi Rabah رحمه الله تعالى. Al-Imam al-Auza'i said about him, مات عطاء ibn Abi Rabah يوم مات وهو أرضى أهل الأرض عند الناس. When he passed away, he was the one that the people were most satisfied with. The people on the earth were more satisfied with one guy when he passed away, and that was Ata ibn Abi Rabah. However, his gatherings would only be attended by 8 or 9 people. Perhaps due to his ikhlas and due to his commitment and his discipline and continuation. Sometimes, you know, people might not attend the gatherings and we feel like just getting up. It's no point teaching. Or you don't want to sit there because you're maybe one of 4 or 5 people. Feels awkward. Huh? It's not a numbers game, guys. There was once upon a time, guys, wallahi, I would travel 3 hours. You know how many people attend? Maybe even 4 hours. 4 or 5 guys are sitting there. And the shaitan is saying, you might as well just call it a day. Huh? Traveling all the way 4 hours. And there's only 4 or 5 people sitting there. But Allah is testing you. Are you going to continue? Right? There's other individuals, my brothers and my sisters, that I could mention pertaining to who are role models to every single one of us, guys. Allah Azza wa Jalla raises people because of the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah raises people due to their relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It is the answer that we are looking for to a lot of our problems. If we just take a couple of verses, my brothers and my sisters, right? A couple of verses. All these multi-billionaires or millionaires, look how their problems could be solved so quickly. Allah says in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِنَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكْرِنَ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever from the male and the female, they do good deeds, right? And they come with iman. We will give them a happy, satisfactory life. Allah says in the Quran also, وَمَنَ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, I will give that individual a depressed life. I will give that individual a depressed life. You know, my brothers and my sisters, we spoke a little bit about Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi and how he read the Quran 80 times and then the 81st time he passed away. This individual who left behind so much turath, he left behind his legacy. His books are there for everyone to see, which he didn't write. Well, he didn't write a lot of them. You see today, like the Majmu', it was a compilation of letters that he used to write. It is filled with verses from the top of his head that he would mention inside of his fatawa. You know what he says? وَنَدِمْتُ عَلَىٰ تَضِيعِي أَكْثَرَ أَوْقَاتِي فِي غَيْرِ مَعَانِ الْقُرْآنِ. Because I began to really regret that I wasted a lot of my life not spending it with the Qur'an. That's him, guys. This is Ibn Taymiyyah. And then he utters this. Have you guys heard of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen? One of the contemporary mountains of the deen. Right? In Qasim, Bureida, they have a whole bookstore that just has the books of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. They print it, they write it up. Huh? They print his books. Wallah, it's a whole library, guys. He even gave a lot of time and concern to explaining the book of Allah Jalla fi'ula. The This individual who left behind 35 volumes of having explained the Quran, brothers and sisters, right? He says the following, تَمَنَّيْتُ أَنْ أُفَسِّرَ الْقُرْآنَ كَامِلًا. I wish that I explain the whole Quran. وَتَمَنَّيْتُ يَكُونَ الْقُرْآنَ هُوَ الْعِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِ فِي تَعَلُّمْهِ وَتَعْلِيمِ. And I wish that Quran was the first thing that I learned, right? And the first thing that I taught. This is why now, my brothers and my sisters, after reading all of this, whenever I give the lecture, I try to revolve around some verses in the Quran. That's why most recent times I decided to go through Surah Al-Hujurat, right? Surah Yusuf. We did a whole university tour where I went past 27 secular universities, which some of these blue-haired feminists tried to shut down, but they failed. Huh? It was about Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf melts your heart, guys. Some of the scholars would even say there's not a person who's going through sadness that reads Surah Yusuf except that his sadness will disappear. You can find it on my YouTube channel. We took some parts out of it. We barely even got into it. Alhamdulillah, it was a big hit with a lot of the students. Did anyone come to that? Universities? MashaAllah, 6-7 people. My Surah Yusuf melts your heart, wallahi, with some of the lessons. The Quran, guys, wallahi, the Quran. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi, my brothers and my sisters, he says the following. هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ التَّامُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْقَلْبِيَّةِ وَالْبَدَنِيَّةِ وَأَدْوَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He says, it is the complete cure from all of the different ailments and sicknesses, whether they are the sicknesses of the heart or the sicknesses of the body, right? وَأَدْوَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The sicknesses of the dunya and likewise the hereafter. It is the Quran. Right. Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi says this. You know, I try to just stand over this and give it some thought, guys. You know, how this even could come to someone's mind. He said, مَهْمَا طَلَبْتَ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّاءِ أَنْ يَزُولَ عَنْكَ مَا فِي قَلْبِكَ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِثْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. No matter how much you try with the doctors, and no matter how much they try to remove the sicknesses inside of your heart, you'll never be able to find anything like the Qur'an. You'll never be able to find anything like the Qur'an. Ibn Uthaymeen was in hospital at the end of his life. You know what will make him happy? Like, he's on his deathbed, guys, right? He's sick and he's ill. But he still wants to give his class. He still wants to teach. So they connected, while he was teaching in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid, right? He used to teach there. They connected the mic all the way to the hospital. This is what makes you happy. Wallahi, when you've tasted the sweetness of a certain something, my brothers and my sisters, like the Quran, like knowledge, you will find a brother who barely has anything, guys. He's living in Al-Madinah. 840 riyals is how much the allowance is. 840 riyals. How much is that in pounds, guys? Huh? Less than 200 pounds. But he's so content. He's in dreamland. Right? He is in dreamland. That is because he has that contentment that money can't buy. He has the Quran. You'll see him walking around. Just recite. Gives him that ladha. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says the following. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا يُغَذِّيَ الْعَقْلَ وَالْرُوحَ وَيَحْفَظَ الْجِسْمَ وَيَضْمَنَ السَّعَادَةِ. You want happiness, look what he's about to say. I haven't seen anything that feeds the mind, nourishes the soul, right? Safeguards your body and guarantees you happiness more than إِدَامَةِ النَّظَرِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. أكثر من إدامة النظر في كتاب. More than constantly looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right. Shaykh Hussain Taymi also says, فإن الإنسان إذا قرأ القرآن وتدبره كان ذلك من أقوى الأسباب المانعة له من المعاصي أو بعضها. When somebody now reads the Quran and he contemplates, he reflects on the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from the greatest causes that prevent him from sins. Right? Especially in today's day and age, brothers and sisters. But you have the Quran that you are what? Carrying inside of your heart. You become blessed wherever you go, guys. Right? You look at my brothers and my sisters, the best month of the year is which month? Ramadan. Why? Because the Quran came down in it, right? The best night of the year? Laylatul Qadr. Because what? Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. The greatest angel, Jibreel. That'll be your Ruhul Ameen. Greatest Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran. خيركم من تعلم القرآن. The best from amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. فيبارك الله فيك ولك أينما ذهبت. Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless your life, brothers and sisters. Whether maybe financially, in whatever way it might be, if you give time to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Abshir. To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, to conclude, we now need practical ways that we could actually what? Live with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Practical ways. My brothers and my sisters, put your hand up if you can't find £130. Most of you guys can find £130, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers will help you out. Huh? The sweetest £130, my brothers and my sisters, that you will ever spend is when you buy Tafsir ibn Kathir that has been abridged. The Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, which is in English. I don't like English books, guys. I don't. However, it was so sweet reading that. I don't know, maybe because it was the interpretation of the Quran. It tasted very sweetly, right? But genuinely speaking, I don't like reading English books. I really don't. Wallahi, guys, the way it's been written is not even old-fashioned English. Right? There was this very well-known YouTuber that I recommended this to when I went to America. I want to read out to you guys what he said. Subhanallah, Habibi, Allah inspired my heart last night, brother. I started from volume 1 and wallahi, I've learned so much about Surah Fatiha already. Like, its value has shot up even more, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, my intentions are to learn more and read more every night. I'll shoot over questions for sure, bro. Jazakallahu khairan for being available for help. And he asked, how did Ohio go? Security guard was loading his gun while I was giving the lecture. At the back. And it's going around on TikTok. That's how it went. Ashahid min al-kalam, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, I'm not saying to you guys, khalas, you take the tafsir and then you start doing interpretation of the Quran, calm down. That's extremely, extremely dangerous. You take this, brothers and sisters, and you treat it personally. What does that mean? When we hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, brothers and sisters, O you who believe, who is being addressed here? Abdullah Mas'ud would say, if you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, which we hear a lot in the Quran, O you who believe, فَأَصْغِيَا سَمْعَكَ, make sure you lend your ear, because you are about to hear something extremely important, and you're about to be warned from something that is very severe. Right? Sometimes we hear the khatib giving a khutbah and we think, oh, yeah, he's speaking about my friend. Oh, he's speaking about that guy that I seen walking out of the area and he was doing this. I can take it personally. He's speaking about me. I need to do something about myself. I need to better myself. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? When we look at the Quran, right, in a way that we are being addressed, wallahi, we will have a completely different attitude to the reminders that we are given. And inshallah ta'ala, this is the case with everybody here who has attended, right? Who is here to better himself, who came here because they know that I need to do something about myself, especially before the month of Ramadan. Right? Don't wait till Ramadan, guys. Earlier in Edmonton Islamic Center, I was telling them, there are two kinds of people. There's a person, my brothers and my sisters, who uses the month of Ramadan as a stepping stone to get better. It is extremely wrong for you to refer to him as a Ramadan Muslim. A sister starts wearing hijab in the month of Ramadan, they're saying, Ramadan Muslim. Oh, look at her. She doesn't wear hijab. Huh? Barbie started wearing hijab. Fear Allah. Or a brother now started practicing in the month of Ramadan. Of course, why not? The scene has been set, right? The doors of Jannah have been swung open and the doors of hellfire have been slammed shut. And the shayateen are locked up. It's more easier to do well. Right? However, some of us, we leave it till the beginning of Ramadan and by the time we get into gear, it's already too late. Because it takes time, guys, to sometimes adapt. Does that make sense? We have to do it right now, brothers and sisters. Right? This tafsir will really, really help put you in the right direction. Number two, my brothers and my sisters. A scholar was asked, how were the Salaf? When I say Salaf, I'm referring to the three golden generations. Not people who are breathing today. How were they when it came to the Quran? You know what his response was? How you guys are with your phones. How you guys are today with your phones. Right? Just 24 hours on Snapchat. Huh? I like this, gets posted on Twitter. Right? Just literally everything that comes to mind, huh? Put it out on Twitter. The app, if you want to get cancelled, is that one. All the feminists are. Me and them having a great time on Twitter. Shahid bin al-Kalam does this phone. It's a problem. I told our brothers and sisters in Edmonton Islamic Center, right? We have to learn to identify the sin. We have to stop being in denial, guys. Write down, get a pen and paper, I told them. And I want you guys to do the same tonight. Get a pen and paper. What is it that's causing me to fall into sins? I'll guarantee you a lot of that which is happening with us in our personal lives is because of the phone. Right? It might well be time to refer back to the trap phone, guys. Well, guys, I'm being serious. You know the brick phones that we used to have back in the day with Snake? That one. To detox. We need a detox because we've become so addicted to it. If you want to know whether you're an addict or not, leave your phone at home and then see whether you start fidgeting or not. The moment you go outside and you start behaving like a nitty. Why are you guys laughing? Wallahi al-Azim, guys. It starts, huh? There's no Wi-Fi. It's like it's the end of the world. My constant need, I need to post everything about my life. I remember many, many years ago when social media started emerging, I started making jokes about something that I came across. A guy goes in the toilet, he goes, I'm going in the toilet here. It comes out, oh, I've just left. This is the life of some people, right? It might not necessarily be toilet related, but everything he's doing is writing it down. Sahih? Guys, 20 days you may need to detox before the month of Ramadan destroys. Before your phone destroys the month of Ramadan, guys, now. Right? The amount we spend holding our phones, let's do that with the Mus'haf. Shaitan might say to an addict, I'm specifically saying an addict, that you could use your phone for the Quran. Huh? But then you get the Snap notification, the Instagram notification, the WhatsApp notification. And by the way, guys, if you want to move away from this addiction, take off all your notifications. Huh? And then you can just, while you're reading Quran, maybe just one page, you're getting hundreds of notifications, you've already gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Can we live without our phones, guys? Without shadow of a doubt. We can. Stop telling yourself that it's a must and you can't live without it. You are your first enemy when you behave like that. Right? Does that make sense? There's a lot of points that can be mentioned, but I've run out of time. I'm going to quickly mention this. Read Quran, my brothers and my sisters, in whatever situation or condition you are in. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, من سره أن يحبه الله ورسوله فليقرأ من المصحف. Whoever is pleased that Allah Azza wa Jal loves him, or should I say, من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله, whoever is pleased that he becomes someone that loves Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فليقرأ في المصحف. Let him read while looking at the Mus'haf. As-Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said about Al-Hafid Al-Iraqi, كان هو كثير التلاوة إذا ركب. Whenever he would ride, he would read Quran a lot. You're in your car, guys, or you're driving a bike. Is it difficult to keep your tongue moist of the Quran? Is it difficult, guys? Everyone here has memorized قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. It starts little and then it increases and becomes more and more. Okay, time for Adhan. Can I have 1 minute, Sheikh? Sorry, Sheikh. Ibn Qudam rahmatullahi alayhi says, كان الإمام أحمد يقرأ الكهف في الطريق للجامع. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi, he would read the Quran while he was walking on a Friday. He would read Surah Al-Kahf, which you read on Fridays, right? On his way while he was walking to the masjid. Right. And then you have also listening, brothers and sisters. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, من استمع آية من كتاب الله كانت له نورا يوم القيامة. Whoever listens to a verse, it becomes a nur for him on the day of resurrection. Huh? It becomes a nur for him on the day of resurrection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you. And clean our hearts and purify it from music. Right? You have the Quran that will enlighten your heart and you have the music that does the complete opposite. Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, Al-ghina yumbitu an-nifaqa fi al-qalb. The ghina, the music, it causes hypocrisy to grow in your heart. Right? And then he talks about the person, my brothers and my sisters, who struggles to recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He struggles. He has issues. It has tied him down. Like a friend of mine who was from one of the European countries, I begged him come to the haram. He would promise me every day I'm going to come. But then he's tied in his room. He would say, something is stopping me from leaving the room. And that was the sins, brothers and sisters, because later on he admitted to me, when he was in Al-Medina, they had a girlfriend back home. You know. Also, it affects your salah, brothers and sisters. He says, فَقَلَّ مَنْ تَجِدْ. You'll barely find someone who listens to music except that he's lazy when it comes to the salah. He prays quickly. Right? That's his state. This is what the music does to an individual. Jazakum Allah khairan, my brothers and my sisters. I just want to say a big thanks to our mashayikh, our imma, who are always so kind to facilitate this program in this very beautiful masjid. I told the brothers as we were driving in, huh? Ilford is one thing. When you get into the area of the masjid is another. They were like, are we still in London? There's horses. Huh? Wallah, it's always beautiful coming here. It's really, really nice. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you all. Right? And benefit from your mashayikh and the elders that you guys have here. Right? And if we don't see each other, we'll see each other in Jannah. Ameen. Again, brothers, lovely ancestors to see the masjid so packed, wallahi, on a Sunday afternoon while West Ham was playing. I think you guys all support them. East London, right? Jazakumullah khairan wa ahsanallahu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.